If you have your Bibles this morning, we'd like to ask you to please turn to the book of Romans. I would like to read from Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We live in a very difficult time. I think this is probably, in my lifetime, the worst that our nation has ever been. I don't think there's ever even come anything close to like what we're facing in our nation today. And I believe that in the midst of all of our troubles and problems, if we are not careful, that we'll become depressed and discouraged, and we ought not to be that way. The Word of God says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And so we're not to be frustrated, we're not to be afraid, we're not to be worried, we're to be trusting in God. Now, I believe that God has taught us some things in His Word that if we'll remember these particular things, that it will help us to rejoice every day of our lives. No matter what the circumstances and conditions are in life, we ought to be a happy people. We have every reason in the world to rejoice. And I pray that God will help us to know that even though I don't know what the future holds for our nation, I don't know what's going to happen or how it's going to happen, even though there are a lot of things I don't know, there are some things I do know. And if I concentrate on the things that I don't know and the uncertainties in life, then I'm going to be afraid. But if I concentrate on what God has told me in His Word, the things that I know, the things that God has taught me that we can say I know, if I'll remember that and I'll think about that every day, I'll be encouraged. I have been encouraged just in studying this week. Every day I've woken up and I've thought about, I know something. I know something. I know. We're going to begin with what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. He tells us something that he said that he knew. And listen, brethren, there are some things I need to know about me. There are some things you need to know about you. And then there are some things that you need to know about God. And we're going to begin by looking at something that every one of us needs to know about ourselves. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 14, the Word of God says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know," listen carefully to verse 18, he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Now, Paul says two things. In verse 14, he said, we know that the law is spiritual. That's the first thing. The main thing I want us to look at is in verse 18 when Paul says, "I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Now, brethren, we need to understand that truth. Paul understood it. Paul knew that in him, that is, in his flesh, dwelt no good thing. It's not that your flesh is mostly bad, but in your flesh there is nothing that is good about you. And in your flesh, you will never do anything in the flesh. Now, when you're in the Spirit, we're remember going to be contrasting about us being in the flesh and in the Spirit. When I am in the flesh, and I'm not talking about just in the body, but when I'm in the flesh and I'm following the ways of the flesh, I will never do anything that is good, because in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. The flesh is contrary to the Spirit. My flesh and your flesh hates God and hates the things of God and hates the ways of God. In my flesh, Paul says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's the reason, he says, that he has a warfare going on inside of him. He said, the good that I would, the good things that I want to do, I sometimes don't do them. And the evil that I don't want to do, sometimes I do those things that I don't want to do. And what's the reason that all that happens? It's because his flesh and his spirit, the Spirit of God that dwells in him, they're contrary one to another. And as long as you follow the flesh, what do you need to remember about the flesh? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Come down to chapter 8, in the next chapter, he continues to talk about the flesh. In chapter 8 and verse 8, the Word of God says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. As long as you're in the flesh, and as long as that's all there is of you, is just the flesh, you cannot please God. And as long as you're following the flesh, you cannot please God. Why? Because there is no good thing in the flesh. Come down to verse 13. The Word of God says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So, in the flesh, what's the first thing that we're looking at this morning? Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Is that important for you to remember? It's important for you to remember for two reasons. Number one, it's important for you to remember that in you dwelleth no good thing, because when you find that in your life you're not meeting the standard that you want to meet, when you find that you're not rising up and being what you ought to be, you always need to know it's the flesh that's in you, that in your flesh dwells no good thing. In fact, if you ever do good, listen carefully. The Word of God says in Philippians chapter 2, 13, chapter 2 and verse 13, the Scripture says, what does Philippians 2, 13 say? Okay, it is God. This is it. If in your flesh there is no good thing, if no good thing dwells in your flesh, then how do you ever do good? Why are you in the house of God this morning? If you came to worship God, then why did you come? If in your flesh there dwells no good thing, how did you get to the house of God? Because it's a good thing to be in the house of God. It's a good thing to come and worship God. It's a good thing to lift up your voice and make a joyful noise in the Lord. Now, if in your flesh no good thing dwells there, then how did you get here today? And how do you ever do anything that pleases God? Well, Philippians 2:13 has the answer to that. The Word of God says, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. If you've ever pleased God, who was it that moved you and gave the desire that you have to please God? If you want to please God this morning, did you know it's not your flesh that causes you to want to please God? If you want to please God today, it's the Spirit of God that's working in you, because I know that in my flesh, that is in me, dwelleth no good thing, and yet God, the Spirit of God, that Spirit is nothing but good. So the flesh is nothing but evil, and the Spirit is nothing but good. The Spirit of God is good, and every time that you've ever wanted to do what was good, who gave you that will or desire to want to do what's right? It's the Spirit of God moving in you. And who is it that enables you to do what's right? It's the Spirit of God that enables you to do what's right. Therefore, when you do what's right, to God be the glory. If you ever do anything that's good and right and pleasing to God, it's because God gave you the desire and God gave you the ability. Why? Because in you, that is in your flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And it's important that you remember that. It's important that you remember it for a second reason, because if you will remember, if you will know that in your flesh dwelleth no good thing, then it will move you and motivate you to stop trying to do things on your own. Because on your own you can't do anything good. It will move you and motivate you to go to God every day and every time during the day that you want to do what's good and what's right. What will you do if you know that in you, that is in your flesh, dwelleth no good thing? What are you going to do every time you want to do what's right? What are you going to do? You're going to ask God to help you. You're going to say, I know that in my flesh there is no good thing. I know that in my flesh I cannot please God. And therefore I know that if I am going to please God, I know that I have to ask God for the strength and the grace and the help that I need in order to please God. I know. Do you know that this morning? Do you need to know that? Do you need to know that in me, that is in my flesh, in you, in your flesh, that in me there is no good thing? It'll keep you from boasting too. Let me mention that. It will keep you from boasting if you'll remember and know in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now, let's go to a second thing that we need to know and that Paul said he knew. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. And the Apostle Paul here says that there's something else he knows. And there's a big contrast in what Paul says he knows in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18 when he says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There's a big difference in what he knows about himself and what he knows about God. He knows that God is holy and pure and righteous. Do you see the contrast between what Paul knows about himself and what he knows about God? I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. And I know that in God dwelleth nothing but good. God is righteous and holy and perfect in every way. God is all-powerful. I'm a weakling. Listen now to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says something completely different than what he described in Romans chapter 7. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the Word of God says, For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I want to just stop right there. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. I know Jesus. So do you see the contrast in Romans 7:18, where he says, I know me. I know me. I know what kind of man I am. I know that I am weak. I know that I am sinful. I know that the good that I would, I do not. I know that the evil that I would not, that I do. I know me. That's the first thing he says. And now in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, I know whom I have believed. I know Jesus and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Who is your Savior? Did you save yourself from eternal hell? Well, I'll tell you this. Paul knew that he didn't save himself from eternal hell because he knew that in him was no good thing. But did he know that Jesus is the one who had saved him? Did he know that Jesus was his Savior? Did he know that Jesus could keep him and that the devil and all of his angels could not separate him from the love of God? Did he know that eternally that his salvation depended 100% upon God? Yes, he did know that. Did he know that God was able to keep him? Yes, he did. Did he know that God could not only keep him for eternal heaven and that nothing could separate him from the love of God, but did he know that God could keep him day by day? You know what gets me in trouble is when I forget that I need God to keep me. When I begin to think I can keep myself on the right track, when I begin to think that I can protect myself or protect my family, when I begin to trust in myself or in anything other than God, when I do that, I'm going to fail every time. But when I know whom I have believed, and when I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day, when I know Jesus, and I'm not talking about knowing about Jesus, but when I really know Jesus, I'm going to have peace in my soul. Do you ever get frustrated with yourself? How many of you ever get mad at yourself? How many of you get like Paul did when he said, "The good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do." Sometimes people say, well, Paul was talking about before he was born again. No, Paul was talking about right then in his life. He said, "I am a sinner." Not, "I used to be a sinner. I still fall short of honoring and glorifying God as I should." Why? "Because in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Brethren, there have been numerous times in my life that I have started over and been convinced and convicted that I was not going to do wrong again. Have you ever done that? I've been convinced I'm going to do right. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to be faithful to God. And before I know it, I'm right back where I was. So many times in our lives, we forget what we ought to know, and that is, in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But we also forget, even though I know I can do nothing without Him, I know that theoretically and in my head, I know I can do nothing that's right and good without Him. I know also that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I know how weak I am, but I also know how great God is. And I need to know both things. I need to remember that. I need to know every day how weak I am. I'll pray harder when I know how weak I am. And I'll pray harder when I know how great God is. All preaching should magnify the greatness of God and the perfection of God and the holiness of God. You need to know that God is able. And you know, need to know you're not able to do what's good and right. I'm weak, but He's strong. I'm a sinner, but He's perfect. Paul said here, "I know whom I have believed. I know Jesus." Some of you are facing some difficult things in your life, and without Him, you will fall apart. But with Him, you'll come forth just like the children of Israel when they marched through that Jordan River and marched through the Red Sea, and when they fought the giants in the land, you'll be victorious. If you will follow God, trust in God, be faithful to God, you will be victorious if you'll remember what you know. What do you know? I know that, what's the first thing you know about yourself? I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. That is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But I also know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that. Have you ever had to commit your children unto Jesus? Brother Donald, yours are almost grown now. Probably many times when they were growing up, you committed them to Christ over and over. But as they get bigger and older, you're going to have to do that more and more and more. Just say, "God, I can't go out there and follow them around." And that's a hard job, folks. When you've been watching over your children, you've been trying to protect them, and you've been trusting in God, but you really, to let go of your children is a difficult thing. And I hope some of you know what I'm talking about. It's hard not to run out there and try to run their lives, but you have to let go. You have to know Christ. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto His keeping. Now, let's go to something else that we know. That helps me day by day, but there's something else that helps me. Go to 2 Corinthians. Back up about 15 or 20 pages in your Bible. Back up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to look at something else we know. And brethren, this is important. I know this, brethren. I know that I concentrate too much on this world. Do you hear what I'm saying? I get too wrapped up in the things of this world. Sometimes I'm living like I think I'm going to be on this earth forever. Now that's really crazy, isn't it? Sometimes I live and I act and my focus and my attention and everything is on Now. I know a man that's about 70 years old, and he contacted me the other day, and he said, Brother Billy, he said, I want you to be on the lookout for me about 100 acres over there around Waycross. I want to come over there and build me a house and retire over there. I want you to think about that, brethren. And I know you need to enjoy life. But doesn't that seem a little strange for you to be 70 years old and fixing to venture out and go and leave where you've been for all your life, to leave that and just go and... Now, Brother Bill, I think you and Sister Lil ought to do that. Y'all need to come up here. But what I'm saying is that he acts like he's going to live forever. And I act like sometimes I think I'm going to live forever. Well, I'm not going to live forever. And you're not going to live forever. Who's going to die first, me or you, Brother Dennis? Which one of us is going to die first? Which one of us you think? Which one of you hope? Which one of us do you hope?
Probably you.
Probably me. Yes, but we don't know, do we? As strong as you are, as healthy as you are, we don't know from one day to the next, do we? And therefore, listen, brethren. All of us need to understand this: the saints of God in the Bible that were the happiest in their lives, they kept something in their mind that they knew. They knew there was something better when this life was over. Now, they didn't just wait till they were about to die to think about this, but they knew and they faced it every day. I believe the Apostle Paul, when he said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I believe Paul had it all straight in his mind right then. And there are times in my life that I, when I'm down and weak and weary and faint, I think, you know, I just want to go home to be with the Lord. And I look forward to that. And I switch from one extreme to the other. And I go from just wanting to die like Elijah did. I want to just lay down and die. I go from that to I want to live forever. I'm just so inconsistent. You need to enjoy every day. You need to live every day to the honor and glory of God. But you also need to be thinking about every day. You need to be thinking about, I'm not going to be here forever. Every day you need to think about, I am dying. I am closer to death now than I was yesterday. We're all drawing near to a time we're going to die. It doesn't matter if you live to be 100 years old. You're getting closer to death every day of your life. And you need to know something about death. Listen now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul said he knew something else. What's the first thing we looked at that he said he knew from Romans 7 verse 18? I know that what? In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. What's the second thing he says? I know whom I have believed. I know Jesus. I know God. And I know He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. What's the third thing now that we're looking at? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Do you know that? Do you know that? Sister Josephine, you know there's a house up there for you. Is your earthly house dissolving? Yes, sir. Mine is too. We're getting weaker and weaker and weaker. But listen, should that cause you to be sad? No. Why? Because I know something. I know that if this earthly house is dissolved, and it doesn't matter whether you consider that just getting sicker and sicker and weaker, doesn't matter whether you consider that, or whether you consider after you're dead, the body being dissolved completely and going back to the dust of the earth, doesn't matter which one you want to talk about, I know that if this earthly house is dissolved, I have a building of God. I have a house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. It's different from this flesh. I have a house that I'm going to. I live in this house right now. This flesh is the house that I live in right now. It's just a house. It's not me. It's a house that I live in. and this house is going to die, and your house is going to die, and your house is going to be dissolved. But if this earthly house is dissolved, you need to know you have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. If you were about to move from a shanty, you remember we used to watch, when our children were small, we watched the Beverly Hillbillies. Oh, by the way, I saw a cartoon the other day. They're moving out of Beverly Hills because they're getting taxed so much. They're coming back to the farm. The rich, you know, are going to share everything they've got with everybody else. So, when we used to watch the Beverly Hillbillies, you know, that was quite a difference in the shanty they lived in when old Jed shot and hit that oil and became a millionaire and he loaded up his family and he moved to Beverly Hills. That house up there in Beverly Hills was a lot different than that house they lived on down at the farm. Listen, brethren, I like this house. I'm glad I have this house. But I've got a better house that I'm going to. I've got a house that I'm going to that is not ever going to get old. I've got a house that is not going to be dissolved. I have a perfect house I'm going to. It's better than the house in Beverly Hills. I have a house that God built, God made, and God's going to take me to that house. And Paul says here, we know. Do you need to know this? We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Do you know that? What are three things you know? What are three things we looked at, you know? What's the first thing you know about yourself? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Second thing I know is something about God. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. The third thing I know is I know that if this earthly house is dissolved, I know I'm going to see God one day in that house He's built for me. That's what Job was talking about. In Job, you don't have to turn there, but in Job said, I know. Listen, Paul said, I know over there in Romans. Job knew something too. Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Is that the same thing as 2 Timothy 1:12? It is. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Now listen, brethren, His Redeemer, tell me the name of His Redeemer, Job's Redeemer now. What was the name of His Redeemer? Jesus. Had Jesus been born yet? No, Jesus had not been born. This was hundreds of years before He was born. And yet Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Jesus was alive way back there before He was born of the Virgin Mary. You go back to the beginning of the world, Jesus was there. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are eternal. And hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born in the flesh, Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Do you know that your Redeemer is alive today? Do you know where your Redeemer is right now? I know that my Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer right now is the King of His kingdom. My Redeemer is sitting on His throne right now. My Redeemer is here with us today. My Redeemer who saved me at Calvary. My Redeemer is still saving me day by day in my life. He's still helping me. He's still protecting me. And Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He said that a long time ago. Do you still know that today? Do you know your Redeemer liveth? I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand the latter day upon the earth. And though after my... Listen now. He's going to say the same thing Paul did in 2 Corinthians 1:12, and the same thing he said in 2 Corinthians 5:1 and 2 Timothy 1:12. He says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body... How did Paul say it? This earthly house is going to be dissolved. See, Job knew what Paul knew. And Job talked about the same thing Paul talked about. He says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Isn't that a marvelous thing? I'm going to see God in my flesh. Your flesh? Your flesh that's going to be dissolved? Your flesh that's going to go back to the dust of the earth? How can your flesh, how can you see God in your flesh? Well, I can't do it and you can't do it, but God can. God's going to raise these bodies from the dust of the earth, and we're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God and made absolutely perfect and taken home to be with the Lord forever. I know what I am. I know what I am, and I know what God is, and I know who God is, and I know what God can do. It is no secret what God can do. If what He's done for others, He'll do for you. Our God is a wonderful God. Our God is our Father. There's some wonderful daddies in this congregation that love their children very much. Wonderful mamas that love their children very much. But did you, and some good grandparents that love their children and their grandchildren very much. But did you know that there's nobody here that loves you as much as God loves you? And there's nobody that's able to do as much for you as God is able to do for you? Isn't it a wonderful thing to have a Father like that? His hand is not short. His arm is not short. His ear is not, he's not hard of hearing. He can hear your prayers. He knows your needs. Do you know how much God loves you? One of the most common questions that people ask me is, how can you know, listen carefully, how can you know whether or not you're a child of God? When they begin to hear about election and predestination, they say, well, what if I serve God all my life? What if I love God, and what if I wasn't one of His elect? What if I do everything I ought to do, and then at the end of everything, it turns out I wasn't one of those that He chose? Listen, brethren, nobody has ever served God and loved God and been faithful to God except those that God had already chosen. And the only reason they ever loved God is because God has implanted His Spirit in them. If you love God, the Scripture says we love Him because He, what's the next word? He first loved us. The Scripture says in 1 John 3:14, the Scripture says, we know. Here's something else you know. We know that we have passed from death unto life. That means you've been born again. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. If you love the brethren, that's an unmistakable evidence you've already been born of the Spirit of God. Can you know whether or not you're a child of God? Are there a lot of things you can know? Let me give you this in closing. Everybody, listen very carefully. You remember the blind man in John chapter 9? You remember the blind man? And Jesus came and healed him, and he was able to see. And they asked his parents, who healed that man? His parents said, you'll have to ask him. And they came and they said, now who healed you? And he said, Jesus. And they said, Jesus is a sinner. And the man said, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about all that. He said, but what? But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now he knew that, didn't he? Now here's the beautiful thing. That man was just starting to serve Jesus Christ. Do you follow that? And when you first start serving Christ, you may not know but one thing. I remember when I started preaching, not when I was ordained, but when I started speaking, there was only one thing I knew. And there's one thing I really, just everywhere I went, that's all I wanted to talk about. You know, when you start out preaching, you go to a lot of different churches. You're this church this Sunday, and this church this Sunday. And everywhere I went, guess what I preached? The same thing. The one thing I knew. Now, eventually, I began to know a little more. That blind man, when he said, one thing I know, he was just starting out as a disciple of Christ. And if all you can say this morning is there's one thing you know, I'm ashamed of you. Because you ought to know a lot more than one thing. I don't believe that blind man who was able to see, I don't believe that a year from then or 5 years from then, I don't think he then would say, one thing I know. I think, in fact, if you keep on reading, he began to know some more things that he described as he went on down in that chapter. But what I want to get across right now is, even though that blind man said, one thing I know, you ought to be able to say, there are a lot of things I know. A lot of things I know. How do you know? the Bible tells me so. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Now, is that pride for you to say you know something? Is it wrong to say you know what God has said is true? Is it wrong for you to say that God is without sin? Do you know those things? Are there a lot of things in God's Word that you ought to know? Everything that you know, listen carefully in closing, everything that you know from God's Word will help you face the problems and troubles of life. The more you know from God's Word, the better you'll be able to defeat Satan and trample him under your feet. The more you learn, and the more you can say, I know. What about Paul as he was finally dying? Did he know a lot? Oh, yes, he knew a lot then. May God help us. And by the way, as you grow in knowledge, you'll learn the more you know, the less you know. There's something to that. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.